Andrew Carlton comes to share some music history with The Antidote. It's great to have you taking time for this.
Hey, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here, Dave.
Now, when I spoke about the past, I truly meant it. It's been almost 30 years since you fronted the Swing Doctors. You got to tell us about how you got pulled into recording a swing album.
That's an excellent question. Let's see, Dave. I was in college and I decided that music was just something I had to pursue. God was just calling me to it. In Knoxville, Tennessee, I went to the University of Tennessee. Lakeside Studios was really the only legitimate studio. And Travis Wyrick, who produced POD, he produced
Travis
the swing
Wyrick.
Album.
Travis Wyrick? Serious?
Yes, sir. Yeah, he's actually just in the same manner. He mentored me so well, but I made my own mistakes in the past. But going to Travis was my only option in town to just kind of make my dreams happen. I had a couple songs that I had written. And I take that back. I called another studio, which was kind of subpar. They didn't treat me very nice. Travis kind of took me under his wing right as I was getting to the University of Tennessee and said, hey, you know, you've got a good voice here. Can we throw this on a swing album we're working on? What's your interest in being the head man for a swing situation? I said, I just felt like all my dreams were coming true in the instant. So the answer, of course, was yes. Rugged Records was out of Nashville, of course, and had pinged Lakeside, several of their artists. And so once we went in to start the project, he said, man, we got another song that has to be finished. We've only got 9 tracks. And they were basically out of budget because, I mean, as you've heard, it's the full band. And it was orchestrated by Joseph Patrick Moore. He is actually a bass player for Cirque du Soleil now and a composer, and just hit like his 460th show and got some huge award for perfect attendance. But he's just a genius musically. And he had composed the entire album except for one or two spaces in there. One song was half written, a song called Life He Gave. And then I said, well, I think I can write some songs. And Travis said, now or never, because we got to get this to distribution within less than a month. And so he grabbed a guitar, does what Travis does, and just starts hammering out this awesome riff. And it's just one of those songs that just came within about an hour and a half. We had it written. It was called Swing Thing. And I wrote all the melody and lyrics on top of his riff. And I guess about a couple months had passed and the label said, we're going to go with this as our first single. I said, what is going on? Okay. So, yeah. And then it started to see some fun airplay. And again, I'm just totally humbled that you have me here 30 years later. But from there, it got to a point where touring was really difficult because all these pros had come in, and as much as they wanted to do a touring band situation, I thought, my goodness, this is just a lot of beautiful music. Not my vocals at all, but I just hated to see it just kind of die. And so I thought, how can we make this into lemonade with this song charting? And at that point, it turns out on campus, I had already been, prior to signing with the label, I had already been going out with friends to swing dance and learning to do it actually fairly well. It was just really fun. We swept the night away at these fun places on campus. And I was just so into swing music and still am. And when this happened, I hate that it doesn't sound like it happened more organically, but we got to say how it did. I was also the mascot for the University of Tennessee. So,
oh, the mascot, like you wear the costume.
Yes. Yeah. I was that guy on the field with Peyton Manning and stuff. And man, it was just a crazy time in life. And so I thought, well, I've got this relationship with these good Christian dance team girls who were the dance squad on the field on Saturdays. And this song started charting. I said, guys, I got to do something with this. And I can't afford a band because it would be probably at least an 8-piece band to get it sounding correct.
Sure.
So we would travel, use the tracks, which I hate to say, but it actually turned into something really kind of beautiful. We started doing a kind of a national tour where we do these one-offs on weekends. For example, we went to Sacramento to do a Christian retreat and teach the couples to swing dance. A lot of couples retreats, things like that, where we just didn't feel like we even deserved to be there. But a lot of festivals, of course, too, were a blast.
Right.
Just a couple times that I get to be with the band. And one of them was the music video, which honestly, Dave, is on VHS somewhere. And I don't know if it made it through our moves, but they brought the whole band in for the music video.
The thing is, with swing revival, I think that might have been the shortest lived genre of all.
It was. It really was.
Do you have any idea as to why swing suddenly reemerged in the 90s?
Great question. I think our generation was tired of a lot of the 90s synth, and they just wanted something a little more stripped down, but not necessarily, just something more live sounding, if that makes any sense. Cut it down to the grid of what it is. I feel like that our whole generation was kind of tired of that, poppy sound. I won't name any names, because that's exactly what I became and did later after that. But no, those were some fantastic times, man.
Well, we've been talking about the album is titled It's a Swing Thing. And one of my favorites from that is Holy Man. Most of the lyrics come straight from the words of Christ.
Absolutely.
But what about for yourself? Are you still a holy man?
Oh, wow. I strive to be every day. I can tell you that. God would probably cast a wide net on what holy man defines, but I think I'm always striving to get there. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think what made It's a Swing Thing album stand out so much was, as you were relating, is that all the songs relate to Christian faith. I mean, the band The W's did get into that style too, but your album came out a few months before their debut. So how does that make you feel like you're important?
Well, we definitely knew we were on the right track. I was worship leader for Fellowship of Christian Athletes on campus, and kind of God called me to use that mascot role to get to know some of the people, got to know Peyton Manning, some folks like that. And so as he led that, I think because I was following and not being a part of the drunk fest that was on campus, that he honored that, I believe. It was an interesting run. It's always hard, you know, as a Christian, especially on a University of Tennessee campus, but we tried to shine the light as much as we could. But with folks just trying to get to them, and FCA, by the way, for the world to hear, was phenomenal for me and my ministry and the support. And you do not have to be an athlete. I also became a leader in Young Life. And so I like to simply say I'm always striving for it, if that's the answer.
Now, swing has its base in jazz, and that does come across on the song Home. But what I'd like to hear about is that the song speaks about your redemption in Christ. Was that message on the album a key point?
You know what? I got to double check that I co-wrote that one, Dave. I don't want to say, I think it was Life He Gave that I co-wrote. But all of those, they made me sit down and read the lyrics. Basically, as I went through every single lyric, I'm not sure if you heard any of the other albums that I pursued following that, spoke everything to me. And then Swing Thing kind of was just a culmination of all of that and ingesting and doing the album for, I guess, 2 months and just realizing, man, this is a lot of these songs relate to me. Some don't. Of course, some are fun, like Come Home Johnny. Of course, Prodigal Son was a fun one. Actually, it's funny. I co-wrote a song called Home following that one, but all of them, like I said, were just really the culmination of my lifestyle and what I was going through in Christ, because that's a big crossroad when you get to college and he's always calling us home. It was exciting times.
Then everybody that was involved with the album, all were Christians?
100%. It's funny. You hear something in a conversation where you see the fruit, and that was important to me. And Travis Weirich, as you know, is a fantastic, amazing man of God, and made it a big point. Now, I will say, I would not put it past Travis to bring in engineers and others that he could slowly introduce to Christ.
Oh, sure.
So I don't know that I could say that 100%, but I know that we were very serious about making this about Jesus Christ and prayers before every session, et cetera. So I always felt like I could just be me in the studio.
That's perfect, though, to have it that way. It makes it natural.
It does. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, we come out with lyrics washed in the blood, and I think God calls us to find those ways through our walk. Yeah, it was so fun over there, man. And he's still seeing all kinds of success. I mean, Travis has got Dolly Parton was in there in the last 5 years.
Right. Everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Here we've been talking about this album, but in an email to you, I complained that the It's a Swing Thing album was no longer available anywhere. It's like you dumped it.
Yeah, we kind of did because the label folded. At that point, you know, I was a 22-year-old who had no idea what was going on. And then I get a call from the distribution center who says, you know, we've got your masters. This guy that I really kind of looked up to said, you're going to have to pay for them. And I was like, I don't understand. I just signed this label. And he's like, yeah, well, we've got 10,000 of your albums in the warehouse and we own the masters. So what do you want to do? And so I prayed about it and ended up pursuing it. And really at that point, everybody kind of found their own paths in life. And it's just hard to keep that group that we had going together.
Oh, that's tough. It disappeared into vapor.
It kind of did. Yeah. And to me, it's also in a lot of ways very exemplary of Nashville in general. And there's just so much cool blood, sweat, tears, Christ-driven music that won't see the light of day. But, you know, it's just so funny that you bring that up, Dave, because, you know, you reaching out to me just absolutely was such an honor. But really, you know, it's one of those industries where if you can't be heard, I got a phone call that my new nieces and nephews in Knoxville found an album. Nobody had told them about it, put it in, and now they all sing along to it. And so it's amazing what God can do later in life. And a friend of mine used to say to me, you know, I said, it's tough not being on tour. Actually, it's my cousin, John Ed, in Austin, Texas. And I said, I think there's a bit of a shift in your life that happens when you're not touring anymore. And he said, look at who you're touring with now. And I feel like there's a song in that because every time I get in that car, I've got two beautiful children and a beautiful wife and so blessed to be on tour again, if you will.
So the Swing Thing was dumped, but you didn't dump music after that. You carried on, right?
I did. Actually, that same label, I convinced them to let me do a solo album. And it was totally different genre than what you're used to spinning. We had a song called Hold Me Up that came out of that. And God kind of opened some doors. It started playing in Orlando on Z88 and then kind of picked up steam. And we never really had a radio promoter. So the key is get every, well, who am I talking to here? But just to let the audience know, right? Like, correct me if I'm wrong. You got to have them all spinning at the same time to chart. And so it didn't matter. The charts didn't matter, but it was getting traction. It was a song called Hold Me Up. And that led to me signing with another label. The same guy that signed Third Day, George King, started a label called Butterfly Kisses with a guy named Bob Carlisle.
Of course. The famous Bob Carlisle.
Yeah, that's right. So he called the label Butterfly Group and then had a couple sub-labels underneath it. A couple of Avalon members were going to go solo. And I was hanging right behind them. Then that label folded. And then that's where I had to say, God, what is it you want from me? Because I've been doing this for 5 or 6 years. And so I bought the masters, remastered everything. And at that point, remixed a song called Jesus Hold Me, which I had written around the same time as Swing Thing. And everybody said it's too campy. And then that song, thank goodness the Fish decided to add us into rotation and we broke the top 20 in Billboard. And so that was a blast. And so we started just riding the winds off of that. And then the 08 housing crash hit and all the festivals and churches just kind of stopped booking, hard to say it, but B-level artists like us. And I realized I just had to back up and see where God wanted me. So I leaned into the studio, leaned into some real estate, still breathing.
You've brought up the song title a couple of times. So you and I do have to get into the album's prime song, Swing Thing. That is a killer tune. Now, when you were in the studio with everybody else, did you realize that that was going to be the standout track?
I wouldn't say that, but I would say a flush, kind of just that personal, you know, every now and then when you get those emotions and that flush over you, when you hear it back through the monitors and you're just going, this is cool. at that time, I honestly, Dave, I didn't know what to expect. I was so young. I was just along for the ride at that point, but then kind of grabbed the bull by the horns and made something of it a little bit later.
There was a swing revival happened once. Is swing going to be revived again?
I think so. I really
do.
I think
it deserves to be.
Yeah, because again, and I'll be thinking about how to better describe that. It's not that stripped down alt rock thing, but at the same time, it seemed to fall into that genre everywhere nationwide. And I love that because there's something raw about it, where everybody's given everything they've got in their lungs. I played trumpet in middle school, and I know how the lungs and lips feel when you're done focusing on those performances. So yeah, it was just a beautiful thing. But in a perfect world, throw them all on a bus and have the whole band paid well. That being said, I ended up going on the road with a band called New Song, sang lead vocals for them for a summer. And that was about the same time we were charting. And so then the housing crash happened, but it's been a ride.
You've had fun and you've got stories to tell.
Yes, I do.
Andrew, this has been a real treat having you on The Antidote. I got to thank you for coming for this chat.
Hey, thank you for having me on, sir. My pleasure.